Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Elora Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nevalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Cuin de Greymont, a paladin from Flarben in the province of Gavinny.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Hi, I'm Rick, and I play Otto, a spring sage from Hanweir, sworn to the land, wandering the plain and setting wrongs to right with his ursine companion, Bojo.
Having discovered Esther lapping up the luxuries on offer, it was a rather grimy looking group that acquainted themselves with both the assistant and the proprietor of this particularly peculiar piece of prime real estate they now found themselves within. The spring sage shifted his form into that of a damp smelling dog, and after a brief waft of his rear end windmill, repositioned himself in front of the fireplace for a less than stealthy snooze fest. Cuin and Elora made the most of a much-needed bathroom break, during which time Jenric was informed of the serious situation unfolding away from the safety of his rambling residence. Fearing the fate of his former protégé, the aged Arcanist immediately agreed to assist in any way that he could. However, he in turn reached out to the team for a helping hand to surveil the nearby settlement of Saltstone, where a portending presence had announced its arrival in the form of a strange ship, now sitting silently in the harbour. Episode 128 of Sages Past.
We can go in the morning, guys?
Yes, sounds a good idea. Better when the light's out and the sun's up, which it does come up.
I must commend you on, as I say, the tower is absolutely fascinating. Also, your glasshouse area is packed with things. Elora starts to ramble. And your books, your library area, as we came up through that, I don't know what floor that was on, was it second floor or something? It was amazing. I've never seen such books. I've never seen such tomes. I am absolutely excited to see these. I would love to spend more time in there. There was another floor. Some very interesting items there. A lot of do not touch items. Is this just something you've collected? You must have travelled at some point?
They are things I've picked up on travels, things I have bought, things I have had delivered to me, even in some cases things I have created which have not fared so well.
Oh.
It is a mix of things.
Fascinating. Yeah, I find that extremely fascinating. I find all of it fascinating.
I think the only danger with allowing you to look at those books, Elora, is that come the morning you may not quite be ready to leave.
I could lose myself in those books quite happily. And some of those things. But they're personal items and, well, maybe one day you can show me some of the things that you have. I'd be fascinated. I'm still learning.
I would be glad to, Miss Elora. Please feel free to use the library as you wish. However, the rather various items, as I'm sure you've gleaned, there are several quite dangerous artifacts amidst them.
Yes.
In fact, a vast majority are so.
Yes.
So I would ask that you do not go poking, prodding, licking, or sampling anything that you may find.
I wouldn't do that. I'm not stupid. If I were curious about something, I would ask. I never take things that are not mine.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be good.
Her eyes roll round in her head slightly as she just thinks. But that's all that happens.
Okay. So, what are you doing for the rest of the evening? Are you just simply doing downtime activities? You know, cleaning swords, armour, stuff like that? You know, having something to eat, drink, general chit-chat? Are you just doing kind of general downtime stuff?
Healing. They said that they were going to give me a bit of healing potions and stuff. Or am I going to use the last couple separate charges on my belt to boost myself?
Okay, yeah. So, at some point in the evening, Jenrik will remember his promise to Elora and co. And he will send Eric into his... He says, Eric, if you head into my lab and pull out potions number 3 to 2, and he rattles off a couple of numbers and reference numbers. You worryingly hear the word experimental, version 1, version 3. You know, various words which may concern you slightly. And Eric goes off and he finds, he comes back with like a little kind of wooden box filled with some various potions. There are some there which are, you know, you kind of, they look the exactly same as a normal healing potion. One of them, when it gets uncorked, there's a loud pop and it begins to bubble. There are some which are a slightly off-looking colour of red, some which are a very bright red, almost orange. They're varying shades, and he begins kind of picking them up and inspecting them and handing you a potion to have, Kewin. And he will continue to do this until you are fully healed. Some of the potions do have the odd side effects. You consume one, the bubbly one, which gives you hiccups for a solid hour. You know, it is general kind of, you wouldn't really think that they would be sold to the public simply because their side effects are a little annoying. Like one sends your hair red, for example.
Only changes it by one shade then.
So for about an hour or so, Kewin, you do have scarlet red hair and hiccups. Alongside other kind of amusing side effects, which they're not harmful. They just make you look slightly funny, or you know, one gives you gas. You know, they are those kind of side effects where you're like, it's an effective potion, but it's not quite there yet.
Elora would have missed all of this because the minute Jenrik had sort of finished speaking and sort of then they had freedom to kind of move and do what they want for the evening, all you would hear was her Cuban heels covering the ground to the stairs, and she disappears in a whirlwind and she is headed full tilt back down the floors as quickly as possible. She's going to dive through the greenhouse as quickly as possible to catch the plant unawares, and she is going back down to the library area.
Okay, so anyone who is left upstairs with Kewin at the time when he's having these potions administered can observe Jenrik and Eric observing Kewin, muttering to themselves and making notes as they hand him each potion and taking detailed observations. So they are clearly using Kewin as a bit of a test subject here as well. Two birds with one stone.
Is he going all druidic? Is he turning into a lat rab or something?
A lat rab.
Is that what I said? Lat rab. A lab rat. A lab rat. Guinea pig. We'll go with that, it's easier.
And Laura's so excited by the books that she can't get the words out straight.
My verbs are all wrong. My verbs are all wrong.
Okay. So Elora's clattered down into the library. You probably don't see her for the rest of the evening. Kewin, you have now got full hit points restored. You are now back up to full health. No worries whatsoever. Ogvar, Otto, Kewin, is there anything particular you are doing?
Yeah, I want to go down and spend some time with Bojo, because I haven't spent as much time with him as I feel like I should do, and I'll probably spend the night down there.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, you go down, you spend some time with Bojo. Yeah, you spend the night down there. It's warm, it's dry, you've got kind of beds of hay and straw to curl up into. Yeah, it's a pretty chill evening.
There's a particular spell I need to cast, which is Healthful Rest. I haven't explained it previously, but when I use my Luminous Armour, one of the side effects of that is that it drains your strength. And in order to make sure I don't lose that strength and recover properly, I need to cast that spell to ensure that I get that back.
I think you did cast that once earlier on when we were on the wagon, I think.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, every day he'll cast that, just to make sure he gets a good night's sleep and recovers properly.
Yeah, good job. Ogvar, Kewin, anything particular?
Ogvar would like to ask Jerrit whether it is safe to go downstairs, because he's a bit wary of the plant. Asks, like, the safest route past it.
Jerrit will look at you in kind of mild amusement. Don't worry, it'll be fine now. He's a bit of a grumpy one, that one, but he's usually fine. Just don't make any loud noises in there and you'll be fine.
Okay, thank you very much. And so Ogvar would like to go down, sort of down to the base of the tower where Otto is, passing Laura on the way. I imagine he would say something to her as he walked past and get very little response.
Yeah, she's just going to wave a hand at his, like, facing him with her back. So.
Yes, I thought as much. Off he will go back down to the base of the tower and have a route around in the cabin. Cabin? Have a wagon. Have a route around in the wagon and find his gift from Vona. And have we got our own rooms for the evening? Have we got somewhere where we can go out the way?
No. So Jenwick will inform you that you will have to crash wherever you can find somewhere because they haven't got any spare rooms.
Okay, well, he will just find a nook or an alcove somewhere on the tower in a room where nobody else is. Possibly where the all the animals were, or bits of animals were. And so, yeah, just lay it out on the work table and unwrap it and see what Avona has gifted him.
Okay, give me one second to find where I did with it.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Discuss amongst yourselves for the minute.
I imagine as he's rooting around in the wagon, he's sort of like chatting to Otto and Bojo at the same time and sort of just asking them, like, are you sure you're all right to accompany us? I know you say you'll go wherever I go, but you are your own man, you can do as you please.
When your dreams bring someone's face to you and that someone isn't, don't take it the wrong way, exceptionally pretty, they're probably for another reason. So, given I tried ignoring them for a while and that didn't prove to help, I kind of figure that the only way to get you out of my head is to be by your side.
I must admit, I've not quite got used to the concept yet, but has this happened to you before with other people, or is this like a first-time thing?
Not people, no. Not as such. I spent many years travelling and hunting down particular group who I felt very strongly needed to be punished for their actions. Occasionally their faces would come to me and they'd disappear after I'd mated out that punishment. Doesn't seem appropriate this occasion, this feels quick. Different, but nonetheless those visions are coming to me for some reason.
And these people you were pursuing before, had you met them before, or were they new faces in the dreams as mine was?
Those souls had the misfortune of taking the wrong man's wife, or so I believed at the time, and it took quite a long time, but they eventually found out that that was a bad thing to have done.
I can't see it being a good thing to do at any time in anyone's life.
Well, they seem to think it was a good idea. They don't think very much at all these days.
Ah, I think I understand. And Ogvar will sort of like do the old, like the noose, sort of like that.
Generally wasn't that quick, but yes.
I see.
I understand. I understand there's better ways of doing that now, but I was somewhat more hot-headed when I was younger. And I may have made some mistakes.
Well, we all make mistakes along the way, and hopefully Avison forgives us for our wrongs in the end. You seem to be making good on your wrongs as you go along life. See nothing, no particular malice from you. Not to the wrong people, anyway.
Well, let's just say I hope I don't run into any of their families anytime soon. But yes, I'm trying my best to make amends.
Good. It's good to have you with us. And Bojo too, and you just like give Bojo a bit of a fuss.
He'll probably really appreciate that. Likes a cuddle.
So as Ogvar runs down through the library, and obviously he calls out to Allura, she'll wave her hand behind her, and then she'll sort of click her fingers and say, oh, Ogvar, Ogvar, just stop a minute. Can I have some of those pastries out of Orland, or some of those, like a venison round or something would be nice.
Okay, do you want anything in particular, or are you feeling lucky?
Orland, could I have something sweet and something savoury? Just give me a couple of each, if that's okay.
Okay, and Ogvar will sort of like fetch Orland from the side of his hip and just sort of present him to Allura.
Oh, that's great, thank you. Orland, would you like to stay with me for a few minutes?
Yeah, okay, why not?
Okay, thanks.
I'll leave you to it, and I'll just unhook Orland from round his neck and just set him on the table or something.
Yeah, that's cool, thank you. Laura's then going to proceed to wave her hand and say, Vinificus Manus, Mage Hand will appear, and she's going to start using the Mage Hand to start pulling books off shelves. And the hand will bring her the books to the table and set them down. By this point, she's got scrolls out, she's got books out, she's flipping through pages, she is just absorbing everything. I think she would just study there for the night until she can't keep her eyes open anymore. And then if anybody were to come down, they would find her crashed underneath the table, lying on a whole pile of books and scrolls. And bits of pastry everywhere, and just Orland on top of the desk.
Okay, cool. Okay, so, Ogvar, you settle yourself down with this package from Ivona. It's wrapped kind of sloppily in this kind of brown paper with some kind of drawings and paintings and scribbles on it, with a bit of twine tied around to keep it shut. And as you begin to open the package, the first thing that falls out is a note. You look at the note, and the one side of the note is very clearly written in a child's hand. It's quite it's clearly been written quite sloppily, very childish, large letters, very loopy, you know, kind of little crayon hearts like over the eyes and stuff like that. It's a very cute note, and it's basically Ivona thanking you for everything you've done for her and for being the best and etc etc. But when you flip the note over, you can see that there is a more adult looking note, and when you read it, it is from Richard. And the note from Richard basically says that this is an heirloom item, something that has been in the family for many years, but he believes that it's found its proper home. And he wants you to have it as thanks, personal thanks, for everything that you've done for Ivona. And when you fully unwrap the package, you can see a leather belt. It has a platinum buckle set with three small black pearls. And you now are in possession of a belt of battle.
Okay. Ogvar will sort of look at it and assess what it is and sort of like admire how well looked after it is, and the buckle's still shiny and the leather's been treated well. And he'll turn his attention to the note and obviously read it. Both sides read Ivona's, and obviously Richard sighed and sort of feel very happy within himself for what he did. And what he will do with the note is, out of his pack, he will get Portia Bella's journal and open it to the page he's reading it at and put it on the page as a page marker, Ivona's side, note side up, and shut the book and put it back in his book.
Yeah.
So he's got it there for safekeeping.
Nice. And,
yeah.
Nothing else special that anyone's doing in the evening? No?
Don't think so, no.
So, the evening passes quite peacefully. Ogvar, you've found somewhere to rest up, a nice little alcove, tuck yourself away. You've read the note from Ivona, you've got this brand new item, this gift. Elora, you are face down in a pile of books and scrolls.
Yep.
Ogvar? Otto, you are curled up with Bojo, giving him some TLC in the nice warm hay downstairs. Kewin, are you just kind of staying upstairs? Are you heading back downstairs? Where are you going?
I'm staying upstairs in a nice warm chair with Esther and Jenrik and toasting a few crumpets, waiting for a reply patiently from Esther, whether she's coming with us or not.
Sorry, Colin, I didn't realise that you'd asked that. So the topic will get brought back up in conversation at some point. Do you think it's worth me going, Kewin? I'm more than happy to come and raring for an adventure, but I'm happy to do whatever you want, to be honest. I can come with you and give you a bit of extra, you know, support and backup and a bit of fighting spirit. Or I can, you know, toddle off out the way like the old woman I am.
Well, you're always welcome. But it seems that whenever you're not with us, I get injured very badly.
I can't have that.
Good luck charm, so to say. But it doesn't appear that it's going to be that dangerous, as you'd imagine. And you could always be a backup, you know, in reserve.
I'll come with you, dearie. I'll come with you, dearie, and I might stay outside or do a spot of I don't know, bird spotting or something while I'm there. And you know, if you need me, give me a holler, and I'll be there in a jiffy.
I mean, you could stay. Like I said, I'm not gonna force you, but you know, we do miss you. But yes, you could stay here.
Oh, well then, no, I'll come along. I'll come along. It'll be good for me, some fresh air.
Okay.
So your evening passes quietly. Eventually, Jenrik will go off to bed. He quite gentlemanly offers his bed to Esther, says I'll sleep in a chair. Esther declines and says, oh, I'm fine, dearie, I've had quite a few years of hard church mattresses, it'll be quite alright. And everyone will eventually drift off. Esther makes herself up a sleeping roll on the floor near the fire. I'm assuming you're probably going to do the same, Kewin.
Oh, yeah. Kewin will just fall
and
asleep in the seat.
And yeah, eventually... Okay, Kewin falls asleep in the chair. That's all good. So eventually everyone in the tower is asleep and a night passes. If you have any hit points missing, which I don't think anybody does... Oh, Ogvar does. Yep, so usual healing rules will apply. If you're above half, heal up half. If you're below half...
No problem, yep. Thank you very much.
That's right, if you're above half, heal up fully. If you're below half, heal up half.
I just need to check if I've got any missing. I don't think I do.
Okay. So, yeah, the night passes. And morning eventually breaks. You wake up in the morning. I'll assume that you'll all kind of congregate upstairs to figure out what's going on. Esther and Eric are in the kitchen sorting out a breakfast of sorts and whipping up something quick. It's quite a peaceful morning. You do not see Jenrik. Anybody who is coming up from the lower floors, so Elora, Ogvar and Otto, you will be able to pass him in the... which room? in his workshop. So this workshop where it's all covered with dangerous items and stuff and red tags. You will be able to pass him in the workshop. You can see that there's a desk of some sort at the back, and he's currently poring through the book through Katarina's journal. You'd say he might have actually gone here because the library's currently occupied. But he's busy early in the morning starting to work on deciphering her codex.
I shall greet him briefly as the way past.
He kind of waves his hand and flips his hand about dismissively. Not being rude, he's just completely absorbed.
Again, Alora will just shout in through the door. Morning, Jenric. Say good morning, Orland. No, he's not going to say anything. Orland, that's most rude. She carries on up the stairs.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I thought I went to sleep on that floor.
Oh, you were on the workshop. I thought you were in the alchemy.
He's probably just walked round him.
I thought... No, it was the one where the animals were, I was. Yeah. Is that the alchemy lab?
Oh, that's...
Down the stable level.
I've got to remember now.
That is
where the rats were in the cage. And you were talking to them.
Yes, so that's the workshop, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've probably, you know... You're probably curled up on the floor in a corner or whatever, and he's just wandered in and started working. He hasn't even really paid any attention to you as you've kind of got up and shuffled around the place, done your morning stretches and, you know, your one, two kind of job. Yeah, he has not paid a lick of attention to you. Not rude, just absorbed.
Oh, well, that...
Completely that, absorbed.
That would have been on a lower floor to Alora, so Alora wouldn't have said anything. I think that was on a lower... Was it not?
No, library's on the second floor. Workshop's on the fourth.
So, yeah, Ogvar will wake up and sort of, like, look at Jenric and think, animals in cage, where's Murdoch? And just quickly scout for Murdoch, make sure he's not in a cage somewhere.
No, Murdoch is quite happily perched somewhere in the room. You can see him directly from where you are. He's quite happily, you know, just observing.
Okay.
As Alora gets to the top floor where Kewin and Esther are, she's going to check and see if Rowan's in his pouch. Is he there?
Yes, Rowan's in his pouch. Ogvar, what were you going to say?
I'm just going to say Ogvar will just whistle to Murdoch, just fly down to him, and then he'd make his way upstairs to join everybody else.
Yeah, okay. So you all have your various animals with you, apart from Bojo, who is not going to check upstairs. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So you gather upstairs, you have a decent breakfast. It's simple, plain fare, but it's a decent breakfast. And I'm going to assume that you're all going to head downstairs and start making your way out towards Saltstone. Yeah?
I think the only slight exception, instead of having breakfast... Otto might spend a little bit of time just changing his spells until ready for the day ahead.
Okay,
And Alora would also cast a few spells. She would probably, she would definitely bathe her eye because she tends to do that in the morning. And then she would probably cast False Life. No, she won't. Forget that. She would just bathe her eye for now.
Okay. So, I'm going to take it that you all start, get downstairs, get out of the door, which as you get downstairs, the door appears. A large kind of stable door, split stable door appears, and you're able to open it up and head outside. It's a fresh morning. It is quite early in the morning. The storm which blew in the previous day has dissipated overnight, but the seas are still rough. You can hear them crashing, you can hear gulls crying and soaring on the thermals. It is still quite windy, there's a brisk wind blowing onshore. And the grass, which is quite long, quite harsh, kind of spriggy grass, very much kind of tundra grass type grass, is kind of laden with dew and water. And there are certain boggy areas that where you step it does squelch underfoot, and Otto, you get a bit of nice kind of mud seepage between the toes on your leather sandals.
Lovely.
Quite a pretty sky, lavender streaked with pink and orange as the sun rises above the horizon. So you're all ready to leave. Esther is ready in her usual gear, her leather trousers and thick overcoat. You can see that she has her sword, her blade strapped to her side, ready for battle. Hair pulled away from her face and braided into this quite tight twist at the base of her skull that you first saw her fashioning. I take it that you will all be prepared for battle. You have patched up your armour queuing as best as you can. It's still looking really rough. You know, you can see some places where there are quite obvious weak points. You would say that you probably need to get it fixed after being chomped on by the dragon eel. But it is still serviceable, it's still functional. You've checked to make sure that, you know, it's not going to fail on you at any point. It's more of a kind of a visual thing at this point. So you were all togged up. Ogvar, you've got your bow strung, ready. You've made sure it's well oiled, made sure it's well maintained overnight.
Sporting a very nice new belt as well.
Yes, very nice new belt.
Put on and buffed up the buckle.
Yes, it glints wonderfully in as the sun rises above the horizon.
Okay.
Alora, you two are ready for the day. You've made sure you've washed out your eye, rinsed your eye out. You've got everything ready, all your kit on, hat is neatly on your head. Otto, you are up and ready for the day. You haven't got much clothing to rearrange or make sure it looks tidy, but you've tightened up your sandal straps and dusted off your raggedy tunic. I'm assuming that Bojo is freshly groomed and looking wonderfully handsome as he always is.
As always, and I'll run through my checklist of daily spells, and I'll hold off with my luminous armour until we get closer to the town. I don't want to be shining like a beacon on the way there.
Okay, excellent. And you are all joined by Eric, who has changed out of his suit. This is quite well-worn, but tatty. It's well-worn, well-maintained, but you can see obvious signs of wear. This suit that he was wearing, he's changed out of it. He's now wearing some more kind of rough and ready clothes, a bit harder, you would say. You know, he's wearing leather breeches and a thick oil skin, like an oiled jacket, like kind of cape affair. It's still got this kind of, you can almost say it's got a kind of flair to it. It's very much when you saw Jenrik with this beautiful kind of opulent midnight blue robes with all this elegant stitching. It's reminiscent, but obviously not the same. It's not as high quality, it's not as good, but it is still has still been made to look decent. You can see some various runes stitched on it. Looks very much handmade though, not so much like fully tailored, but it's still some very nice clothing. And he's joined you, ready for the day. And you can all see that on his hand he has what looks to be... everyone make me a knowledge arcana if you've got it. If not, just a knowledge check.
Okay.
That's just a straight roll then. She's got an arcana.
Okay. A 4 from Otto.
A 4 from Otto, okay.
9 from Ogvar.
9 from Ogvar.
3
from Kieran. And a 22 all in from
Ogvar. Yeah, okay, so Laura, you would definitely recognise as you look at his hand. You can see what appears to be a gem, a jewel, mounted into a metal setting, which is then attached itself to several chains, one which loops over his middle finger, one which loops over his thumb, and one which then obviously trails back to his wrist where it's fastened. And you can tell that this is an arcane focus he has on his hand. Obviously this is what he uses to cast. It's very much it's a tool, it's a focus, it's a conduit. It looks very good quality. Perhaps you've seen arcane focuses on your journeys, or you know, perhaps even cast with ships at one point. And you can tell this is very, very high quality. You know, you'd usually only see this within the noble circles, within the Silver City of Thraben itself. They are not cheap artifacts, and this one looks especially good quality. Okay, so the carriages are outside. Your carriage, sorry, is outside, set up ready to go. Your horses have already been tacked up, brushed, fed, watered, and hitched to the carriage. Are you taking the carriage, or are you planning to ride or walk? What is your mode of transport you are choosing?
How far away is it?
It's half a day.
Half a day.
I would have said just ride, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just ride.
Okay, so I'll work on that one. You've had a brief discussion in the morning with Eric and co. You've made the decision to ride, so the horses have been fed, watered, groomed. They are now tacked up. You have your four horses, which you will have... Yeah, one for each of you. And there will be another horse, which is the horse you saw in the stables in Genrik's. It's a decent looking bay, a bit stringy, but looks well cared for, which Eric has tacked up. He's obviously quite familiar with this. He tacks up the horses with some knowledge. You know, he's not hesitant, he's not nervous. He's able to tack these horses up and he's very competent. Okay. So, you are...
I'm just thinking... Rick has some kind of horse.
Thank you. Just about to say the same thing, yeah.
Oh, he's got a bear.
Yep.
Yippee-ki-yay.
I should just ask Bojo ever so nicely.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a horse, but better.
Okay, so you all mount up, and I'm going to get you all to make me handle animal checks apart from Otto with Bojo. I want to see how well your riding is going to go first thing in the morning.
Oh, how I wish I'd put some points into ride. ride check. Ooh, that's a 21 for Allura, all in.
Nice, you're safe.
That's a 14 plus 1 for Kewin, so that's...
Did you say Gollum?
I was going to say Colin.
Gollum. And...
Okay.
Ogba will be having a 19 plus 6, which would be a 25.
Yeah, okay. And Esther rolled a 16 plus something.
Which equals something.
For clarification, for any podcast listeners, I don't have Esther's sheets on me at the moment.
sorry.
So I'm just making the numbers up as I usually do. We all know who's getting it with the next monster. Okay. So, you are all able to mount up. You're all able to get started on the day. The horses are feeling good. They've obviously well fed, well rested. And you set out on the way to Saltstone. Is there anything in particular that you are doing on the journey there?
Yes, Allura will cast, as she's riding along, she will cast False Life on herself.
Okay.
From previous experiences over the last day, it's made her just a little bit twitchy, so she's just going to go and cast False Life on herself, and I'll do that roll and let you know what it is in a moment.
As we're going along, Kewin will turn to Allura and go,
how are you doing for your holy water, for your eye? Just give us a shout whenever you need any. I can bless holy water now, so unlimited supply gear.
Oh, that's really cool. Thanks, Kewin. That would be really useful, actually. Thank you. I'm all done for today, though, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Ogvar's on his horse. You can say, don't think we've actually ventured this out this way before. Eric, would you mind leading the way?
Oh, yes, of course. No worries. Yes.
Is the road generally quite safe?
Well, to be honest, there isn't really a road. You are quite literally just riding across the grassland here. Oh. There is no road. It's very much, you know, just myself and Jenrik down this neck of the woods, or lack of woods as we are on a plain. So, more on a cliff, actually. But yes, I travel up to Solhof occasionally, but no, I mean, Saltstone's been abandoned since before I was born. So there's never been reason to go that way, no.
I see. Have you always been from round here, then?
No, I haven't always been from round here. In my own travels, I came across the Master Jenrik, and he very kindly took me under his wing, taught me arcane skills. Quite fortunately, he has done so. Yes, I am Eric Shiblington III.
Nice to meet you. I'm Varshaw Ford. I don't think we've fully been introduced.
Pleasure to meet you, sir.
You'll hear. I'm Cuban de Greymont. Nice to meet you.
Pleasure is mine, good sir. Us fellow noble sort have got to stick together. Everyone make me a insight. Is it inside the list? I think it is.
Sense motive?
Let's go for a sense motive, yeah.
Are you sure you don't want to intimidate after that?
Oh God, now there's two of them.
Sense motive.
sense motive.
Sense motive. He's putting off
on his own. Sense motive from Otto is 14, 9 plus 5.
Okay, 14, yep, pretty good.
Yeah, that's a 9 minus 1 from Alora, which is an 8.
Pretty shit.
Okay. It's a 9 plus 1 frog box, makes it a 10.
Okay.
8 plus 5 for Qin, so 13.
Okay, 13. Okay, so let me just make a... Well, anyone who got over a 7, which I'm pretty sure is all of you, if I'm correct... Yep, this is an incredibly fake laugh.
Oh.
You could tell it's an incredibly fake laugh, but it's also an incredibly nervous fake laugh.
Ah.
He's very clearly bluffing here.
Alora's just going to sort of twist in her saddle slightly and look at Ogvar and narrow her eyes.
Ogvar sort of just looks and raises eyebrows and shrugs because he's not entirely sure what's... He gets the bluff, but he's not quite sure what about. So,
Eric, are you from Throbben then?
I wish those gilded Silver City walls are a sight to look upon. I've dreamed of going there many times in my life. Yes, only seen them from afar. But no, I am. I am from a village, a town, more of a small city, to be honest with you, in Kessig. Yes, used to live in a very big house over there. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, that's nice.
You can all roll me another sense motive check here.
God, if I fail this, I must be dumb.
Funny you should say this.
Thoughts of?
I did wonder you were.
I shall lead off then.
Well, I seem to have less about me than I did last time because it's I've rolled a 7 minus 1, which is a 6.
Qin's 12 plus 5, which is 17.
17, nice.
Ogvar is a 16 plus 1, which is also 17.
Nice, okay, Otto.
7 plus 5 for 12.
Okay, well, Eric Shiblington is particularly shit at lying. with a 4, you all beat him. you can tell that what he's spewing out of his mouth right now is quite possibly garbage. You can tell just from that sense motive check, you can tell that he seems to be a really nice guy, but he is lying through his teeth. about everything he's just said.
I wish I'd have picked that.
Okay.
Detect lies.
What, are you planning to be Jeremy Kyle, are you? Oh, the lie detector test.
Well, if no one else is going to say it, I will. He's full of shit.
Has anybody got a toilet roll? There's a bear shit in the woods.
Look at him. And that's it.
Okay.
He's going to pull down his he's going to pull down his visor. Bang.
Ogbar sort of sympathises. Maybe it's a bit of nerves or something he's on about himself. And so turn around and yes, I know a fellow Kessigmund when I see one, and I think I might know just where you're from. I recall the one of the great houses, and you have the stature about yourself, and just give him a wink.
Is that? And he looks at you, and it's almost this manic forced laugh. You can see the panic in his eyes as he's realised he's just been really shit at lying. And he looks at you with this sense of relief, gratitude, and kind of like look in his face.
Marvellous.
Anything else? Is there any other particular actions anybody wants to take?
No, but Laura will declare now that on her false life roll, she rolled a 7 plus her level, which is 10, so that's 17 extra, like, temporary hit points.
Nice, okay, cool.
When we're about a mile away from Saltstone, I shall again cast my luminous armour and make sure everyone can see everything from about 50 miles away, and... apart from that, I'll restrict myself to that.
Okay, so the day carries on, conversation carries on, and you can almost sense that Eric relaxes into it a bit more. He's not as much trying to put on the airs and graces. He's still speaking quite poshly, but he is trying to avoid and divert any topics about his background and about, you know... You very much get the sense through the conversation that he's very much not of noble stock. He's very much, you know, something else entirely. And a terrible liar to boot. So, day carries on. And we reach about 11 o'clock, you could say. The path you've been taking, you are on this, the kind of... outstretched this furthest the furthest most eastern point of Nephalia and of Illistrad, and this is a long thin stretch of land. It's very much very flat, very even. In fact, it probably kind of bows upwards a little bit. It's got a bit of a convex kind of curve to the land. It's got a very much convex curve to the land. Not something you'd particularly notice by walking. It's very, very subtle, but it is enough that, you know, if you kind of take an aerial view or a topographical view, you would see that it has got this curve to it. It is flat, or it's, you know, mostly flat. It is very much grassland, long, hard grass. Very spiky, very unforgiving on the ankles if you were walking through it. It's rough, and at some points the grass comes up to, you know, the horse's knees, the horse's chest. It gets deep, and you can see as you're travelling across, this cutting wind, it does make the grass kind of, you get this effect where you see the wind over the grass and the grass bows over. And the sunlight reflecting off it, it gives this kind of shimmer as it travels across the land. It's very hypnotic, very kind of serene and gentle. That's the majority of the journey. As you reach 11 o'clock in the morning, you begin to enter a more wooded area. It begins by sparse trees, perhaps quite short trees, obviously adapted for kind of windy and bluff-like environments. And as you begin to travel further in, it becomes more forested, more wooded. And you notice that Eric is leading you very much in, instead of going straight across now, he's very much kind of deviating towards the left. And the ground does begin to drop down towards sea level here. Clearly, this is at a point of the coast where the ground drops out and it drops down to sea level. So you travel down and it begins to get more wooded, quite thick with brush again, and these are kind of like almost pine tree types. And looking at it, anyone with a kind of a knowledge of the woods, so Otto, Ogvar, you could see that this soil which they're in is obviously very dry, very easily washed away. You can see exposed roots sticking out, whereas obviously the ground's crumbled away from them. It's almost kind of like mountainous terrain, shallow roots spread along a long way out. And everyone make me a spot check, please.
Otto rolled a 3, so a total of 21 with plus 18.
21, nice.
Qin is 13 plus 6,
19. Nice.
17 plus an 11, 26 for Ogvar, please.
Nice.
And Laura 20. Was a 23.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. And Laura was a 23 all in. So it's a 16 plus a 7.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so all of you notice that as Eric leads you downhill on the horses, obviously it's reasonably steep, you can actually see that the route he's taking you, there seems to be a natural division in the trees, and with a bit of squinting and a bit of kind of looking at it, you can see that this is actually, or you would assume that this is where a road used to lead out of the town. It's obviously grown over, regrassed itself, but the trees have remained obviously divided where they would have been cleared, or where a natural divide would have been for a road to run. And you begin to realise you are now following the road down towards the town. At this point, as you're making your way, Eric speaks up. And he's been narrating things to you as you go. He's been like, oh yes, heading this way or heading this direction. But he almost slows the horse down, so he's not out front anymore, he's kind of more back with the pack. I believe there is a outcropping of rock coming up shortly on the left. It would be I'd say a 20 minute diversion to get to the outcropping. We'd have to go through the tree line, but it should give us a decent view of the town. Perhaps that might be an option to survey the land.
Sounds like a plan.
Oh. Yes. No, I think that's a reasonable idea. I mean, we don't know the area. Clearly you know it a little bit better.
Yes, I stayed up late last night with the master's maps and such, trying to familiarise myself with the area. You know, as my noble father used to say, knowing the terrain is part of the war. Ha 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 ha.
Ha.
Yeah. No need to stand on parade with us, though.
Yes, ma'am.
Excellent. Okay, Eric. Eric, how old are you? If you don't mind me asking.
I am 33 years old to date, Mum.
Today?
To date.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said today. Mom, you don't need to call me Mom. My name's Alora.
I'm sorry, Mom, but you scare me a little bit.
Oh, I've barely spoken to you.
I know.
Oh.
You can scare the rest of us as well.
I'm sorry, Kieran, did you say something?
Pardon?
Did you say something? What? It's
just
not the wind again, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So, Eric, you travel a little further down the path before he leads you off into the tree line. It is quite thick, it's quite full of brush. You can hear various sounds. You can obviously hear birds, various movement of animals. You'd say probably rabbits, hares, and the such. Perhaps the odd snake slithering around in the pine litter underneath. You can't really hear any large game, any deer or boar. You can't hear any specific noises, but you can probably see faint tracks, both Ogvar and Otto, where obviously animals have passed through. So for 20 odd minutes he leads you through the tree line in seemingly a random direction. You can see that the ground is sloping away, but you know, you looking ahead, you do eventually see this outcropping that he mentioned. You've kind of come down on a more diagonal downwards angle towards it. And when you reach it, you can see that this is, you would have to dismount to actually climb up onto the outcropping. You wouldn't be able to get the horses up there. And it's only a short climb, probably about 10 foot upwards. And this outcropping is out of the side of the cliff. So just trying to describe it as you could imagine, you've got cliffs, a dip down which you followed, this path almost is dip between the cliffs. As you've been going downwards, Eric has led you diagonally downwards where there is an outcropping on the left hand cliff, and you can see this kind of plateau, and as you would expect, there's kind of like a bold spot of trees in front of this plateau, obviously more open area.
Okay. Seeing that, Ogvar will turn to Kewin. I suppose this is it, isn't it? Should we have a little look, see what's going on?
Yes, might as well go and have a look-see. I wish we'd have should have got that telescope off.
Cado's spyglass.
Cado's spyglass, yes.
Yeah.
Oh well, we'll try with the eyes. Just hope he...
He's probably using it to still look for Exum.
Yes.
He's probably done one.
Oh well, let's go and have a look.
Yeah, Laura will dismount as well and she'll follow up behind.
So you all dismount. The horses are not going to go far. You know, they find a little bit of grass and they start lipping away at that. You go up to this outcropping. It is 10 foot up, easily climbable. You can see some very obvious handholds and footholds. Are you going to climb or are you going to use your various magical items to make your way?
I think Ogvar will just climb. Unless anyone's struggling, then he might get up first and then throw down a rope.
Okay.
I'll be reluctant to climb anywhere. I'll stay with the horses.
Okay. Otto, stay with the horses. Ogvar, do you want to make me a climb check, please?
I can certainly try. A 15 plus a 7, 22.
Yeah, you're going to easily be able to scale the rock wall. Again, there are these very obvious kind of handholds, footholds, cracks, crevices. It's nothing new to you. You're very easily able to climb up. Mm-hmm. Eric will attempt to follow you in your journey. With a 9, he's worse than the average human. He will struggle severely, but he will manage to get his way up there.
Okay.
So, Kewin, are you climbing?
Yep.
Climbing? Roll for it then. Roll me a climb check.
5 plus 3 is 8.
8. Yeah, it's going to be a struggle for you as well. You know, you're not used to climbing. It's not really... or at least this kind of natural rock climbing. You are going to struggle getting up there, but you will eventually make it. I imagine Ogvar will have to haul you up at the end.
Can Ogvar just like sort of like get his rope of stone and sort of like throw it down and sort of like whip it so it hooks around the back of him and then make it like a shepherd's crook and sort of like oik him up?
That's going to be quite a skill to do, so yeah. Make me a dexterity check, please.
Can I use rope?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, that's going to be about as good as Kieran's climbing skills. It's going to be an 8.
Yeah, I mean, you fling your rope of stone out, and it gets a bit of a curve on, and then you say the word to activate it, and you're left with like a pole,
okay.
which is now made of stone and quite heavy.
Okay, I can live with a reachy pokey stick.
Okay, Laura, are you attempting to...
Well, she's looking at all this go on, and then, well, yeah, she's gonna say it. Well, can't get any worse, can it?
Did you have to?
Here we go. Ah, well, it's a bit of flavour, isn't it?
She can't unsay it.
We're doomed.
The party paladin was in need of some TLC, and after his annual ablutions and playing the part of the guinea pig once more, Jenric tested some of his homebrewed help on him. Despite the strangely scarlet syrup of figs and a heavy dose of the hiccups, somehow he did feel better for his magical makeover. During the evening downtime that followed, Ogvar finally opened his gift from Ivona, and was taken a bit aback to discover a rather beautiful belt. Unsurprisingly, Laura gave it legs, making a lurch for the library, its books, and, in a shower of crumbs, the pastries. Finally, and deservedly, the friends got some solo time and some well-earned rest. As daybreak dawned, the friends felt stronger and somehow rejuvenated. Electing to travel with equine encumbrance, Kuin, Ogvar, Otto, Esther, Elora, and Eric struck out in a northeasterly direction, heading towards the apparently not-so-abandoned settlement of Saltstone. A little light conversation en route revealed Eric's false facade and ludicrous laugh, which did nothing to discourage Elora from handing him a little honesty. However, Eric did prove to be a good geographical guide, and as they took a detour off-grid, they found themselves climbing a rocky plateau, which they were able to use as a vantage point with an ideal view overlooking the old town. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word, so others like you can find us, and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign from backstories to settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.